All right, so we're back tonight to more of the minhagim of getting ready for Shabbos. And I wanted to focus, like I said last week, more on the food we eat for Shabbos, all the traditional foods that we have for a typical Shabbos. I just want to give a little introduction to it because, you know, we have all these different foods. And the question is, what's the importance of these minhagim? I mean, let's say I don't like gefilte fish. Let's say I don't like to have cholent. So why is it so important that we stick to traditional foods, at least to some degree? Or is it important? Is it not important? In general, these aren't obligations, we said. These are minhagim, and these are not minhagim which are binding. These are more just things that are nice to do. But we'll see there's a lot of meaning behind them. But I just want to start with a couple points before we get into the actual foods. One point is that many Sfarim point to a Rashi in Vezos HaBracha. In Vezos HaBracha, the bracha given to Shevet Zavulin, it says, Amim Har Yikro, Sham Yizbechu Zivchei Tzedek. It says, nations will be called to the mountain. There they will offer karbanos. So Rashi says that this is referring to Goyim, to other nations. And it says that because of Zvulun, they'll be drawn to Eretz Yisrael, which is a different discussion why that is. And they'll come to the Beis HaMikdash, and they'll be very impressed with Klal Yisrael. And Rashi explains, they're going to come and they're going to exclaim, what a beautiful nation, because they all serve one God, and v'ochlim meichel echad, and they eat one food. So the simple understanding is we keep kosher. Everyone's eating kosher food. But Sfarim say, how are you going to notice that? I mean, he's eating a grilled cheese sandwich, and she's eating a piece of chicken, and he's having some kishka, she's having sushi, it's all kosher. How's that one food? So we can understand it to be they saw us eating similar foods, because everyone's eating traditional foods altogether, and that was kind of a hallmark of Klal Yisrael to identify as one nation. So that's one point which is brought in terms of eating foods that are similar. And some Sfarim say it actually refers to Shabbos foods. That's what it refers to. We also have some sources of the importance of what the Gedolim gave to traditional foods. It's brought down from the Stipler. It says the Stipler was very careful every Shabbos to always have all the traditional Shabbos foods, not to even lack one of the foods. Even when he was sick and he couldn't eat so much, he would still make it a point to taste every single Shabbos food on the table, even though he couldn't really have so much food at that point. And if it happened to be that the Stipler could not get the foods he wanted to, he would at least have some foods made that were similar to the Shabbos foods. There are some people that on Pesach, for instance, will Dako try to make, you know, Pesach foods that are look like Shabbos foods, even though they can't be the same thing, just because he wanted to fulfill that minhag. So we see that the Stipler, he wasn't a Rebbe, he wasn't somebody who we look at as doing all these different Kabbalistic things. He was very careful to always have the proper Shabbos foods that were based on the minhag. And one more interesting story is that I just saw today Rav Shlomo Zalman was asked a Shaila in Halacha. And we mentioned last week that eggs and onions is a traditional food. And eggs and onions is something which halachically there's a lot of discussion about, how to do it properly on Shabbos. You even find that certain Sfarim offer kulas of how to make eggs and onions, as if it's so important. We've got to get these eggs and onions made, so you can even make kol in Halacha Shabbos to get them made. We're going to tell you how you can make kol to do it. And you really find this in halacha. So it's a very funny thing. So for Shlomo Zalman, he was asked the question. He said, why is it mutter to make eggs and onions on Shabbos? The question that he was being asked, I mean, there's two real halachic points here. One is the cutting of the onions. You can't come too small. It's tochin. Also, the idea of lush. When you make the one mixture, it's an issue of kneading. It's lush. So like making egg salad or making these types of things, it can be an issue on Shabbos. So he was asked, why is it okay to make eggs and onions on Shabbos? It's lush. So Shlomo Zalman said, you know why it's okay? Because my grandmother did it. And my mother did it, so it's gotta be mutter. this is the posuk hador. So it says, okay, so I can explain. I have to explain why it's okay. But this is the minhag in Klal Yisrael, and all of our grandmothers and great grandmothers, everyone's been making it for generations on Shabbos. It must be fine. And he says, and even if my explanation sounds like it's kind of, it's kind of stretched. It's something which is sort of far off. That's not going to change my psak, because since this is the minhag Yisrael, I know it's okay to do. That's what Shlomo Zalman said. It's an amazing answer. And then he goes ahead and he gives halachic explanations to it, why it's so important. But just to understand, the Gedolei Hador put emphasis on the fact, these are Menhagim and Klal Yisrael, and we don't have all the answers all the time, whether it be why, whether it be the halachas of how to make it. Shlomo Zalman said, if my grandmother did it, my mother did it, I know it's mutter, and we'll figure out why it's mutter, but it's important to have eggs and onions, is what he said. So it's interesting. One other point which is interesting is that we'll see a lot of the different foods we're going to discuss, the ideas are based on their Yiddish names. I mean, there's ideas of foods that are based on what we call them. And we'll ask, well, Yiddish, even though it's spoken by Jews for centuries, it's not Lashon HaKodesh. It's not linked to the Torah. It's not so important. Like, why would we spend our time eating foods because their Yiddish names happen to have meaning? So I'll tell you another story. This is a story which is brought down in a Sefer Minhag Yisrael Torah. And the story goes that there was a chassid, a ger chassid, he was a chassid of the Chedushei Harim. And he had to flee from Russia for some reason, I'm not sure why, but he had to flee from Russia. And he came to a city called Jacob, I'm not sure where that was, a city called Jacob. And he was there in Jacob for Rosh Hashanah by the Rav, his name was Rabbi Eliezer from Jacob. And when he was there, he heard them describing these certain foods they would have in Rosh Hashanah as a minug. And they called them, in Yiddish, they called them radish. I don't know what that is, but it was some food they were eating and they called it radish. Anyone knows what that is in Yiddish? I don't know. But
radish.
Radish. I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's a radish. It doesn't sound like a radish. Some sort of bread food describes it as here. And then the Rebbe, he started describing all these gematrias and ramazim based on this Yiddish word, radish. So this chassid was kind of surprised. And he came back after the Gezerah passed, he was able to go back home. He went back home, he spoke to his Rebbe, to the Chedushei Harim. And he came back and made fun of them. He said, I was in the city, and they're eating this food. And he said, let's hold Russia about the Yiddish name of this food. Like, what's the big deal? It's Yiddish. It's not Lashon HaKodesh, so why is it so important? So the Chedushei Harim responded. And he said to him, well, if you're going to make fun of that, then you should make fun of your own tefillin. He says, why? Because how do we know that there's four compartments in the tefillin, and there's four parts in the tefillin? So one of the sources is in the Gemara, and the Gemara says the word totafos, which we translate as tefillin, is composed of two different words. Tat, in the language called Kisbi, means two, and pas, in an African language, means two. So the Torah itself is utilizing languages from two other countries to teach us about how many parshas go in the tefillin. So it says if you're going to make fun of them using Yiddish to tell you about their foods, then your tefillin are the same problem, because your tefillin aren't being learned from Lashon HaKodesh, being learned from Tat and Pas, which is Kisbi and Afriki. Those are the two languages it's in. And how about people who don't speak those languages? They shouldn't put on tefillin? Of course, Chas V'Shalom, of course they put tefillin on. So it must be that the Torah gives her muzzim in all variety of languages. And certainly languages that have become the Minhag Yisrael to speak, there's something to that as well. And many people will talk, besides the nostalgia of Yiddish, there is something about Yiddish which became part of the fabric of Klal Yisrael, and much of, we have many minhagim that are based on Yiddish words, things like that overall, and that's because it's hashkacha that we use certain languages, and languages that the Torah is able to cover all languages. So that's the story with the chassid. So as we talk about different foods that might have different ramazim in Yiddish, he's saying, don't take that lightly as a joke, but understand that if Klal Yisrael is using a certain language, and the Torah is speaking a certain language, then it means something. And those languages can be understood as well. So, that being said, I want to go through some of the foods that have been brought down as minhagim to eat, and try to explain a little bit of why we eat them that way. So let's start. I'm going to start off with one of the most classic ones is fish. Not necessarily gefilte fish, but having fish on Shabbos is a very strong minhag. It actually begins in the Gemara. I mean, the Gemara discusses, the Gemara tries to find what's the minimal example of Onik Shabbos. If somebody is poor and they can't afford a Shabbos food, the Gemara says they should at least buy what's called a kustah d'harsina. A kustah d'harsina was basically fried fish. It was a little like cupful of fried fish. That's kustah d'harsina. So that's the Gemara's classic example of Onik Shabbos. And it's actually brought in halacha. The halacha says, if you can afford it, you should buy delicacies for Shabbos. You should have lots of good food. If your income is limited, at least add to your meal the fried fish. And then if you can't afford anything, then you can have a regular meal on Shabbos. But the halacha recognizes fish as like the minimal onig Shabbos. That's fish. So that the Gemara mentions that. The main minhag is brought down to eat fish at Shavuot Shudas, but it's brought also to eat it at all meals. So there are people who are mocking with that fish every single meal. Some eat fish, some have it on Shabbos, some have it at Shavuot Shudas, but there is this idea of having fish on Shabbos. So why is it that way? So the reason I have the board here is we have to do some gematrias tonight. So the gematria of fish is straightforward. Dag is equal 7. So, but that obviously 7 is going to be a remez to Shabbos. That's seven. That's easy. But there's more complicated ones. Let's make it the board. So it happens to be a lot of the foods that come and see this. I mean, this one, just Dal Gimel equals seven, is a straightforward one. But a lot of the foods we have on Shabbos, their gematria actually comes out to be a seven, which is fascinating. So if you have a typical Shabbos meal, so you start off with your challah, right? So if you take the word challah, ches lamed hey, that equals 43. 4 and 3 equals 7, right? That's called the mispar katan, they call it. It's when you add up together the final numbers and you end up with 7. So then after, many people after their challah, they have dag, which is going to be 7. And then there's a minute to have soup on Shabbos, where you take your marak, right? Marak, if you do your math, is going to be 340. And you see the pattern here, which is 7, right? So that's marak. And then you'll want to have your meat, right? Your basar, which could also be your chicken, right? If you do your math with basar. So again, you're talking about 502, which equals 7, right? And there's one more. What am I forgetting? I forgot something important. Before you have your challah, you have your yayin, right? And your yayin is 70. So you see already, it's an amazing thing that these foods that we have on Shabbos, this is really a full Shabbos food over here. Every single course ends up equaling 7, which is pretty amazing. So the minhagim match the remez points to the minhag, but we see there's something about these foods that all add up to the idea of Shabbos, which is it's a very cool thing. So first and foremost, we talk about dag, which we're talking about now, fish. Fish is gematria of 7, which is remez to Shabbos. Beyond that, you know, fish is quoted as a simen bracha. You know, in Bereishis, the fish got special bracha. They should be fruitful and multiply. We use the term, you know, in the famous pasuk of Hamal Hagolosi. So bracha we give is v'yidgu larov. You should multiply like fish. Yidgu, that's the word means. Because fish are given a bracha of growing, being plentiful. So fish is always looked at as a simen bracha. The B'nai Yisachar, the Rabbi of Dinov, so he says a very interesting idea. He says that on the fifth day of Bereishis, the fish get a bracha. On the sixth day is an Adam and Chava created, they get a bracha. And on the seventh day is Shabbos, and the Shabbos is the day of bracha. So if you have the human being eating fish on Shabbos, you get a threefold bracha there. You have your rope is three braided, it stays together. So it's a triple bracha on Shabbos. And even brings actually an interesting remez to this. It's the board again. And we have the pasuk we say in Mizmor LeDavid. It says, Binos deshe yarbitzeni. That Hashem, he lies me down, you know, in pleasant pastures. And the word deshe is dag, Shabbos, Adam. So that's your remez to fish, Shabbos, and the human being all together as one. So that's our idea of eating fish on Shabbos. So you fuse these three brachas together to create this like threefold, very special bracha. Another point about fish is that fish were not killed in the mabul. That's the one animal that didn't have to go onto the teva as fish. The fish survived, and this is a species that didn't deserve. I mean, the other animals deserved to be killed. That's what Chazal tell us. The other animals were mingling amongst their species. They were acting quote unquote immoral. The other animals, fish, they stayed to their own species and didn't deserve to be killed. Why that is, we can discuss a separate time, but fish were able to survive the mabul, and it's brought down also a remez that fish, this is actually said in Rosh Hashanah, there's a minhag to have fish in Rosh Hashanah. So we know that one remez, we say in Rosh Hashanah Nar Suda, we say nifrev and nirbe kadagim, we should multiply like fish. But there is actually, the Mishnah Berurah brings down, it's actually a minhag, which I've never tried, that some want to start eating with the eye of the fish, which doesn't sound too appetizing, but some will start with the eye. And the reason the Mishnah Berurah says you would start with the eye is because fish don't have eyelids. Their eyes are always open. And it's a remez to Hashem's eyes always watching over the world. Ina pakicha. It's Hashem's eyes always open and watching us. It's the idea of hashkacha. Hashem is watching over us min hashamayim. So on Shabbos as well, we try to take that point into account. And we have fish on Shabbos. I mean, again, some might want to start with the eye, I guess. But the fish on Shabbos, because the fish is a remez to Hashem's hashkach over the world. There's a remez on Shabbos we call Me'in Olam Haba. Shabbos is a taste of Olam Haba. And we know one of the big meals described in Olam Haba is the Sudas Shel Avyasan, We feast on the Luvyasam, which we spoke of last year as a large fish. So when we taste the fish on Shabbos, it's supposed to remind us of the big Suda on Luvyasam that will be in Olam Haba. So that's another idea of fish. Now there's another one here. This one's a little more complicated. Let's explain it. The term for fish, as we said, the word is Dalad Gimel, Dag, which is seven, but it's Dag. So the Gemara talks about the Aleph Beis. Now the Aleph Beis is Lashon HaKodesh. It's the building blocks of Lashon HaKodesh. So the letters in the Aleph Beis, each one has its own meaning. The order makes a difference, because every single one is significant. This is Hashem's language. This is the language of Torah. So the Gemara goes through the entire Aleph Beis and talks about what each letter represents, talks about the shapes, the order they're in. So the letters Gimel and Dalet, and the Gemara says that Gimel and Dalet refers to Gemol Dalim, that you should give to those who are poor. No, Gemil is Chasadim, Gomel Dalim. You should give to those who are poor. That's Gimel and Dalet. So the Gemara then says, well, why is the Dalet face away from the Gimel? And if you were to draw the letters, here's our Gimel, and here's our Dalet. The Dalet's looking away, right? So the Gimel's here to give him tzedakah, and the Dalet, who represents the Dal, the poor person, is not looking back at the Gimel. So why is that? So the Gemara says, it's so he receives the money privately and doesn't get ashamed of it. We know if you give someone money, then he might be ashamed, he might feel embarrassed, he has to take tzedakah. So it's better to give him money when he's not looking. Give it to him privately. So that's why the Dalet is turned away. But the representation of Gimel and Dalet is that we're needy, we have to take. That's Gimel and Dalet. So the person giving tzedakah has to do it in the proper way. But the Dalet, who's the Dal, the poor person, he's supposed to, you know, he receives it, and he has to be a taker. He's not giving, he's taking. He's not earning his keep, he is taking handouts. The Dag is the opposite. Dag is Dalet and Gimel. So now you have the poor person looking towards the giver of the tzedakah, right? The person who's poor, the Dalet, is looking towards him, which means that I no longer need to take. You know, I now can look him in the eye because I'm going to be able to earn my own keep. That's the remez over there. So the Dawa now can turn right, faces the Gimel, and he's saying, I earn my own keep, I don't need tzedakah anymore. So it's also a siman of bracha, that we should have what we need in life, we should have parnasa, and we shouldn't need to take from anybody else. So when the Dawa is turning away, it happens to be this word here, the word God, besides being a shevet, is also a term that refers to avodah zarah. That's looked at as something which is bad. A dog is a sign of bracha, because now the Dalet can say, I can stand on my own two feet, or one foot, I guess. If I can stand on my feet and I can look towards the one giving me money, I can say, I don't need your money anymore. And now the Gimel's looking away, because he doesn't need to give him anymore. So that's another remez you find in fish. So fish has a lot to it, in terms of remazim, and it means a lot. One other interesting point about fish, this is our last point about fish, is that the man we know, very famous, the man can taste like anything you want to taste like. You're eating your man, and you're dreaming of a steak, it tastes like a steak. You're dreaming of sushi, it tastes like sushi. A pizza, it tastes like pizza. Whatever you want, the man would taste like. Except Rashi tells there are exceptions to that. There are certain foods the man could not taste like. This is a Rashi in Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Yud Aleph, and it's going on the Pasuk. This is when the Jews were complaining that they wanted meat, and they were sick of the man. So they said, Zacharnos Hadaga, we remember the fish, Ashnuchel Mitzrayim, we had a Mitzrayim, Chinam, for free. It's like Kishuim, we remember the Kishuim you should translate as maybe like squash, Amis Avtichim, the watermelons, it's a Chatzir, not sure what Chatzir translates as, I think it's some sort of vegetable. Chatzir, we remember the Betzalm, the onions, and the garlic, the Shumim. So it's weird. Klai Yisrael is complaining about the man. And they're reminiscing about the food of Mitzrayim. So besides the fact they were slaves and tortured is a different issue, but they're reminiscing about fish and squash and watermelon and onions and garlic and some other vegetable. So why are they mentioning these as their complaints? So Rashi says, because the man couldn't taste like these foods. The man could taste anything you want, no matter what you thought about it, tasted like, besides this selection of five or six foods over here. Why those foods? Again, that could be a different discussion. But the first thing on the list here is the daga, the fish. So the man couldn't taste like fish. So on Shabbos, you know, there's an idea that the food of Shabbos is supposed to represent the man. We know that the challah, we cover the challah on top and on bottom, like the man that had a layer of dew on top and on the bottom. We know we have two challahs to represent the idea of the double man on Friday. So Shabbos, we should make the man. However, the man couldn't cover certain foods. So if you want to complete your own Shabbos, then you have your Shabbos, which is the man, but the man can't taste like fish. So if you want to complete the whole gamut of Onik Shabbos, make sure you get all the tastes included in your Shabbos meal. You got to put some fish in there too, because the man can't be fish. So that's why we have the fish in order to complete our Onik Shabbos. So this is also what we'll talk about. There's a minute of having garlic on Shabbos, onions, and all of these things. One of the reasons given is based on this pasuk. The man couldn't taste like onions or garlic either. So therefore, you want to add to your suda onions and garlic to make sure you get all the tastes into your suda. Very interesting thing.
What about watermelon?
I don't know. I like watermelon. I'm happy to have it, but I don't think it was available in Europe. It could be. That's probably why they didn't have it. But maybe if it was, they'd have had it. You know. But, a lot of the foods we have are based on what was available over the centuries. You know, so I don't think watermelon was so available. But I enjoy watermelon. Happy to add it to my Shabbos suda. Okay, so that's fish. Now the next thing we'll talk about is soup. So it is brought down that soup's an actual minhag. Now, Klai Yisrael seems to like making chicken soup. I didn't see chicken soup as a particular minhag, but soup. I did having soup. So if you like other soups, I think that also fulfills the minhag. But there's the idea of soup. We already spoke about the gematria, the seven of soup. I saw two reasons for soup being a minhag. Number one is a gemara. The gemara says, Kol suda she'ein bo sarif. Any suda that doesn't have soup, as essentially the word means, ain't no suda. It's not a suda. I mean, soup's considered kind of a hallmark of making a fancy meal, that you bring out the soup. That's part of making it like a chashiv suda. So based on that gemara, if a Shabbos suda should be something chashiv, there should be soup at the Shabbos suda. So that's one reason which is quoted. I saw another reason in Yiddish. I don't know this Yiddish word. I'm assuming it means soup. Maybe someone knows Yiddish better than me. But it's brought down the word. They said there's a word called, spelled yach, yud alav hey chaf. You know what that word means in Yiddish? Yach
is a broth.
Yoch. Broth. Okay, there it is.
But that's what it is.
So that's sure. It. That's the answer. So it's broth. Okay, that's exactly what we want to be. It means like the soup. And the word yach has in it a reference to the pasuk ki malachav yitzavelach, that Hashem will command angels to protect you because. Erase here. Get some more space. The board tonight's very useful. Ki malachav yitzav lach. So the last letter of each word, yud vav hey chaf, that spells yach, which in Yiddish means broth. So it's a reference to Hashem sending malachim to protect us. So that's another reason brought down for eating soup. Now, what is interesting is that there's actually a minhag to put lakshin in the soup. Now, I thought it was minhag to have knedlach, which I didn't see anywhere. I like knedlach, but there's actually a minhag to put lakshin in the soup. And that comes from the fact that the word, there's two brings brought for that. One is that noodles are a sign of achdus, because the noodles, they're in your soup, and they all seem to like get tangled together as one. So there's actually a simen of achdus in noodles, intertwined. Also, then again, the Yiddish word lakshin for noodles could be said as the word lo kashin, not difficult. And it's a tefillah that it should not be difficult to make parnasa. Parnasa should be hard. So lakshin is a reference to having easy parnasa, and unless it's a reference to achdus. So those are two reasons to put noodles in your soup.
Can you say that again? Why the parnasa part? What was that?
Because the word lakshin could be read as lo kashin, not difficult. And it's saying that our parnassa should not be difficult. So that's where that one comes from. So that's soup. I didn't see any reference to chicken soup, even though that seems to be the classic Jewish soup, but it seems to me any soup would probably fit the bill. Which one?
Borscht.
Borscht, yeah, borscht.
That's not hot.
That's why?
That's not hot.
It's not hot.
They don't serve that hot usually.
Yeah, but it's a classic.
Classic Jewish soup.
With egg on the bottom.
Right.
All I know is that's true, but I have to choke it
down. Yeah, I always make fun of the fact that you walk into any supermarket in the entire country, no matter where you are, there's a little kosher section, and it has in it matzah and borscht. That's what's there.
Right.
That's it.
And gefilte fish.
Yeah, jar of gefilte fish. Yeah. But you could be in the middle of nowhere in America, and there's always that little aisle with the dusty box of matzah and gefilte fish. It's actually funny, in the summer, there's bachur from the yeshiva who are on a road trip across the country, and they actually got stuck for Shabbos in the middle of Tennessee. So I said, what'd you do? They said, I went to the grocery store, and we found matzah, and we found gefilte fish, and matzah ball mix, and they made it out of that section, so it actually came in handy. So I guess somebody uses that section. But it's anywhere you go, I always see that. There's always borscht there. So the next thing is the idea of having basar. Basar doesn't necessarily mean, it can mean chicken also, whether it be poultry, whether it be red meat, but there's a minute to have basar. Now usually we don't have milch exudas or flesh exudas on Shabbos. So we already mentioned basar being 7, 502 equals 7. The idea of basar, obviously in general, basar is looked at as a very chashuv food. You know, big meals always serve a nice chunk of meat. You know, whether it be a chasna, whether it be other types of big meals, you know, meat's always the sign of a chashuv meal. We know in simcha basar v'yayin, the basar and yayin contribute to simcha, so you have that on Shabbos. It's also brought down that eating the food of Shabbos should be similar to eating kachim from karbanos. And therefore, the karbanos were meat. So they weren't, I mean, I guess chicken, they didn't have chicken in the karbanos, but a form of basar is similar to karbanos. And that's why there was a minug, which is actually brought down, that they would be careful to serve with their meat mustard. And why is that? Because the Gemara says the kohanim would always have mustard with the karbanos. Because it says that the chashivas, you know, a very fancy suda would serve mustard. We find that in this week's parsha, Avraham Avinu brought in the malachim to serve them food, and it says that he gave them tongue with mustard. So mustard, even though nowadays mustard may not be looked at as fancy as it used to be, but there were certain chashivas to mustard. So I think there are definitely certain rebbes and people of that sort that they're still careful to make sure they have either mustard, or some say chrein would also do the trick, with their meat on Shabbos, so they can serve it as a chashuv meal. Another type of meat which is a minhag to have amongst Jews would be liver. The chopped liver is a classic Jewish food. And what's interesting about liver, the word kaved, which is liver, is gematria of 26, which is the gematria of Hashem's name, Vikhed Vavke. So there's a remez in liver to the shame of Hashem. So all these things they have, you know, we think they're just good foods that we're used to eating, but there's something behind them all. So that's the idea of liver. Now, again, I don't know all the recipes they would always use, but what the Sfarim discussed is that some people are makbid to always add something to the meat, which would be tzimis. Now, making a tzimis with meat in the tzimis was a minug, and carrots, that's brought down as a minug as well. I also saw to do it with farfel. So I've never seen, I guess, the farfel and the meat and the carrots together. Maybe that's some sort of dish, I don't know. But the idea of having farfel with meat and the carrots. But before we get to the farfel, so the idea of tzimis, I think there's something up in Kabbalah to add, not to have the meat straight, to have the meat with something, which I'm not clear exactly what. But the word tzimis relates to the Hebrew word, erase some more space over here. Again, tzimis is a Yiddish word, I think, but there's the Hebrew word tzumis. Tzumis is to like come together, to constrict, to something shriveled up. That's somes. And Svarim say that the idea is coming together as one, because look at Shabbos is a day where Klai Yisrael and Hashem all come together as one. So tzimis would be a reference to somes, which is to come together. There is a particular minhag out there to have farfel on Shabbos, and the farfel should be steaming farfel. You should see the steam. The Baal Shem Tov was very careful. You should see the steam on Shabbos, and many of other Hasidim were. And the question is, why is the steam so important? So it's said that, you know, we spoke about last week how the challah and Shabbos food in general has a reference to lechem apanim. Every single Shabbos, every single Friday, they break 12 loaves. They put it on the shulchan in the Beis Mikdash on Shabbos. Leave it there for a week. They take it off the following Shabbos and eat it. So the Gemara tells us, number one, a nes always occurred, and that chalas, that bread stayed, it was really matzah actually, but the matzah, it stayed hot and fresh the entire week through, as if it just came out of the oven. So it sat there 7 days exposed to air, and it still remained hot, warm, and fresh for the entire week. But beyond that, the Gemara says that when Klai Yisrael would come to Yerushalayim for Lila Regel, so the Kohanim wanted to show Klai Yisrael how precious they are to Hashem. You're so precious to Hashem, He does miracles for you. So they would pull back the curtains, everyone would see the lechem upon him. And it's a ruchi basal makum. Look how much Hashem loves you. It's as hot as it was from the day it was put onto the table last week. So the question is, well, how can you see that it's hot? You can feel it's hot. How do you see it's hot? The answer is there's steam coming out of it. You can see the steam. So therefore, they would make sure that their farfel was steaming, because lechem apanim seems to have been steaming the entire week, as if it was hot out of the oven. So you would have steaming food on Shabbos to show that steam as a reference to lechem apanim. So that's one idea brought about having steaming farfel. And then also, again, another Yiddish reference on the term farfel. I'll try to spell Yiddish now, or I'll just say it. The term farfel, at least the term in Yiddish, farfalen, which is something which is missing, like lost. And the reference which is brought is that it says in the Gemara, anybody who keeps Shabbos properly, Hashem forgives their averos. So your averos are forgotten. So therefore, you have to have your farfel, so your averos are farfalen. So your averos can be forgotten. So that's another reference to farfel. Another food that's a minute to have on Shabbos is garlic. We already mentioned about garlic, the pasuk here, that the man cannot taste like garlic, so you want to fill in all those gaps and make sure that you have all the taste the man couldn't be, so you have garlic on Shabbos. Additionally, garlic's actually brought down in the Gemara as an idea from Ezra himself, Ezra Sofer. The Gemara says that Ezra made a takana that we should eat garlic on Shabbos. So why is that? It says, Yochan shum be'er Shabbos mishum una. Dichsiv asher piryo yitem be'ito. So it's looked at that Friday night is a proper time for intimacy of husband and wife, and garlic's supposed to contribute to that somehow. So it contributes to desire. So people say, it sounds like the garlic breath could keep you away, I don't know. But the Gemara looks at garlic as creating some form of desire of husband and wife, therefore garlic was a minhag to eat on Shabbos. So beyond the fact that garlic is a taste the man did not taste like, you have this as well. But it's clear from the Mishnayos this is a widespread practice, because the Mishnah says, if you take a neder not to have any benefit from the uchli shum, from people who eat garlic, that includes all of Klal Yisrael, because everybody ate garlic on Shabbos. So that there was a, it was a very common minhag. I don't know if it's common anymore, but there still is a minhag to eat garlic on Shabbos. Next one is quoted from the Ramah. The Ramah says that you should eat what's called pashtida on Shabbos. What? So pashtida. So pashtida, I don't know what language pashtida is actually in, but pashtida is described, I mentioned it last week, as some form of like a meat roll. It was like a dough with meat inside and a dough on the bottom. So some sort of meat roll concoction. Deli roll, I guess, would fulfill that minhag, right? Which has become pretty popular these days to have deli roll. So why is there meant to have this pashtida on Shabbos? So the Ramah says, because we're trying to make a zecher to the man. And the man, as we said before, was covered on top and bottom with dew. So therefore, you have a food covered on top and bottom with the dough to be a remnant to the man. The Ramah then continues and says, I haven't seen people careful with this. So he doesn't necessarily stand behind that minhag as one that everyone needs to do. But he does say that was a minhag to have as a zecher to the man. I did hear someone say that those in Eretz Yisrael eat berekas for that purpose, because berekas are that same, you know, that same format. The Elia Rabba does say the minig isti pashtida, even though the Ramah doesn't say it. And Rav Scheinberg actually said that any food that has that image will fulfill the minhag. So even, I guess, even like some sort of like pastry at the end of the meal with the top and bottom dough and something in the middle. Anything that has the layers on top and the bottom and something in the middle would fulfill that minhag. So deli will for sure fulfill that minhag. But what's very interesting is that many translate pashtida and they use the word kugel for pashtida. When we say kugel, we don't think about a meat roll. But some say that kugel could actually be pashtida. And it's said by the Munkacher Rebbe. He says that when you bake potato kugel, so you end up, usually the very top is a darker color, and the bottom is a darker color, and the middle is a lighter color. Because that's similar to the format of this pashtida that has the top and the bottom layers of dough, and then you have in the middle the meat. So you have that good brown color on top of your kugel, and the brown on the bottom, and you have the lighter color in the middle, then you've done the same thing. Now they're mentioning kugel. So kugel is also a minhag to have on Shabbos, so whatever, I guess in any kugel form that you like, and besides, I guess, that idea of the top and bottom layers. But there's two things I saw about why kugel is a minhag, what kugel represents. So one idea of kugel is that the word kugel, so it sounds like the word ke-eagle. Ke-eagle means it's like it's round. And why does it matter that it's round? So that's a reference again to the man, because the pasuk says that the man was Kizra Gad Lavan. The man appeared like these white seeds on the ground that were rounded. So being that the man was rounded seeds, we have a food that has a reference to being round. So that's an interesting thing. One other thing about Kugel is exactly that point. So if you were to spell Kugel like this, that with a kaf instead of a kuf, so you have that pasuk, you have Vihaman, you have the Vav, Kizra, you have the kaf, you have the word God, and Lavan. So that pasuk that describes the man has in it the Rosh Yetevus of Kaf Vav Gimel Lamed, which equals Kugel. So again, we're playing with Yiddish, but like we said before, there's something about the language. We can prove from the pasuk about Tefillin that there's something about the languages in the Torah itself. So that's the idea of Kugel. I saw another minug. I saw it in one source, a little more of an obscure source, but said there's actually a minug to use last week's challah in a kugel. Mm-hmm. Right? Everyone always has a few slices left. You know what to do with. You know, you make it into breadcrumbs. You throw it away. You use it for peanut butter and jelly. But so there's a minug to put that into next week's kugel. Everyone has different usages for it, probably, right? But everyone has those few slices that you have left over. But the French toast. Right? So the reason to do that would be the lechem apanim was always baked the previous Friday. Mm-hmm. It's put out on Shabbos and stayed on the table for a week. So last week's challah that was on your table last Shabbos, if you serve it this Shabbos, also a reference to lechem apanim, because it's the same process of a week long sitting out and then being eaten the following Shabbos. So that'd be a minute to have last week's challah for this Shabbos. So now we get to the famous eggs and onions, right? Mm-hmm. Eggs and onions. So eggs and onions, as mentioned before, is an old minhag. It's a minhag which even halacha recognizes as a reason to be mikel with some halachas on Shabbos to make sure we get our eggs and onions made. What's fascinating to me, which I'm not exactly sure why, is that there are many rebbes this very day who are makbit to make their own eggs and onions at the table on Shabbos. Like they'll bring them the onions, the eggs, they'll cut it up and they'll make it in front of themselves and eat it on Shabbos right at the table. And rebbes still do that. So there's another story here. Your cousin does that?
Can I just tell you, it's so crazy. My daughter Shoshana and I were literally just talking about this last Shabbos.
Really?
Because we have very dear friends that are Hasidim. And she's been learning, like, in depth, like, learning the halachas of Shabbos. And she's like, Mommy, I don't understand how the so-and-so family... And Dafka, the husband, who's extremely learned, he makes the
eggs and onions. Yeah. Like, this is it.
It's whatever. She's like, it just does... How do you do it? And I'm like, I don't know, but if he's doing it, this has got to be...
There's a reason for it, yeah.
And it's just...
That's so funny. So I'll tell you an interesting story. This is a story of...
The only thing that the husband
eggs and onions. it's hard to mess it up, that's why. Right. I'm not going to get into that, because I'm actually going to how to cut the eggs. I'm not getting into that one. Cut them 4 slices, 2 slices, but we'll just keep it. They make eggs and onions. But there's a story of Rav Chaim Sanzer. Rav Chaim Sanzer is known to be a huge tzaddik, big Talmud Chacham, respected by all. And the story goes that one time there was a chassid whose name was Rav Yitzchak Aaron Itinga, was his name. I don't know who he was. And he once visited Rav Chaim Sanzer for Shabbos. So in the first Shabbos he was there, he saw Rav Chaim Sanzer, who was a huge gadol, the Rebbe, a huge Talmud Chacham. He was cutting up his own eggs and onions. So he asked him, why is the Rebbe cutting up his own eggs and onions? I mean, they made him everything else. They served him food. He was the Rebbe. So he answered that first week. He said, there's so many halachas involved in making this on Shabbos properly, I want to do it myself. So no one will mess up. That was the first week.
Can't make it before Shabbos.
I mean, that refrigeration is probably bad. The next week, the Shabbos Abba, so the next Shabbos,
it's better when it's fresh.
There was another guest who came and asked them the same question. And the second week, he answered, well, we know as we mentioned, all the foods of Shabbos have this idea of adding up to 7. So he said that, the Dag is 7, and Basar 7, and Maraka 7, all these things are 7. But it says that the butzel, an onion, if you were to do the gematria of onion, let's do that. So onion, which is, here we go, do it higher up over here. Onion, butzel. So that's going to be 91.22. All right? Yeah. It says the onion is 1.22. So if you add this, you end up with 14. 1 and 2 and 2. He says 14. He says, well, we can't have the onion being 14. Everything else is 7. Let's cut the onion in half and make it 7 and 7. So that's his answer on the second week. And then there's a third week. So the first week he said, the halacha is too complicated, and you know, I want to do it myself, so no one messes up. The second week he said, well, I want to make sure that the butzel gets cut so I can make it into sevens. So now in the third week, the Shabbos Abba Shal asked him again. A simple balabas asked him this question. And he said, onions, if you cut them up too early, they won't taste good anymore, they get ruined. And therefore, I want to be sure I do it myself so it's fresh. Onik Shabbos. So, 3 weeks passed, and every week he gave a different answer to the person asking the question. So the one telling the story, who was, his name was Rav Betzion of Babov, Hashem Yikom Damo, he told this story. He said that the fact that the Sanzer Rebbe, every single week, gave a different answer, it means there was some much deeper answer to the question, which he wasn't going to divulge. And therefore, there's something al pi kabbalah, some very, very deep, meaningful, mystical answer for cutting up eggs and onions, and he wasn't willing to share with everyone else, but that's what we'll say. So, I don't know the answer either. But the point being that there's something about eggs and onions which is very, very deep al pi kabbalah, and rebbes themselves have to cut it themselves, with the proper kavana, I guess, and it means something, and that's become an old minhag yisrael of eggs and onions.
These friends
are above. Oh, okay. So there it is. Okay, totally fits. Totally fits. In general, the idea of eggs is actually brought down in non-Hasidic sources. It's even brought down. The Kaf HaChaim, who is the Sephardi posseg, brings this down, and he says the idea of eating eggs on Shabbos is we know that eggs are food of avelus. We know that at a shiva house they serve eggs, and on Shabbos Moshe Rabbeinu died. So there's the idea of having eggs on Shabbos because the avelus of Moshe Rabbeinu's death. So the idea of eggs. So according to that, you should bring it whole, because the idea of the egg is that it's round, like the life has its. It says mourners don't have an opening, they don't speak, and life is round, things like that. So basically, you should bring the table whole and then cut it up. So that's why you cut at the table, because you're going to bring it whole as a sign of avelus and then cut it afterwards. The idea of onions, on their own at least, we mentioned beforehand, the man couldn't taste like onions. So again, you want to complete all your Shabbos tastes with onions. There's also a reference brought down that the word nebatzal for onion, you read be-sel, in the shadow, in the shade. And we know we speak about being, be-sel shakai, being in Hashem's shadow, as a pasuk in Tehillim. And furthermore, on Shabbos in Mariv, we change a line of Mariv. During the week, we say, Shomer Amo Yisrael La'ad, Hashem protects Klai Yisrael forever. On Shabbos, we say, Poreis Sukkas Shalom Aleinu, Hashem stretches out His sukkah of peace upon us. And it's a reference to the sale of the sukkah, because Shabbos is like a sukkah. It's Hashem's protection in Klal Yisrael. So butzel is like betzel, being in Hashem's sukkah, being in the shadow of Hashem's sukkah. One more Yiddish reference from onions is, onions in Yiddish is tzibulish. Mm-hmm. Right? Tzibulish. So let's say tzibulish is Rosh Hashanah, the pasuk, Yancheni b'maglei Tzedek Laman Shemo. Right? That's the Yod, the Beis, Tzadi, Lamed, Shin. That's Sibilish, which is onions. And this is Hashem should lead me into the pastures of righteousness for sake of His name. So that's the idea. So there's a reference to Hashem leading us into Tzedek through eating onions. So that's the idea of onions. The next one of our favorites that we spoke about last week is pacha, right? Pacha, which someone mentioned last week is galareta in other parts of Poland. So pacha was made out of cow's feet and other stuff, I guess. I'm not sure what else went into pacha, but you don't see it so often anymore, not in Silver Spring at least, but you could probably get it in New York, I would guess. But what's the idea of having pacha on Shabbos? So one concept is the Gemara says that emes has no has feet, and sheker has no feet, because it's a foot dish. Because that's the Gemara says the famous idea. The word Lashon HaKodesh, emes. So each letter has two legs. Right, if this leg, two legs of every letter. The word sheker, each one just stands on one leg. So therefore sheker, when you have sheker, it falls over. It doesn't last. It has no feet. Emes has feet. So therefore you want to have feet on Shabbos to represent the idea of emes versus sheker. Additionally, it's said that currently we're described as being in a period called the Ikvasa de Mashiach, the heels of Mashiach. You know, we're at the moments right before Mashiach comes in history. Historically, we're closer to Mashiach than ever, and it's called Ikvasa de Mashiach. And therefore, our generations are involved in what's called Tikkun HaRaglayim. You know, we are perfecting the feet because we're the feet of Klal Yisrael in terms of how the Doros have developed, and therefore we eat feet on Shabbos. It's a dish of feet on Shabbos in order to represent the fact that we're here to perfect those feet so Mashiach will come. One other reference to the feet is it says about Yaakov, Vayisa Yaakov Raglov, Yaakov lifted up his feet, and he went to the land of the Bnei Kedem. So after Yaakov, I think it's after he had the dream, he lifted his feet and he left. So the Shabbos Sudas are actually correspond with Yaakov. The Gemara says that Yaakov is somebody, it says if you have Oneg Shabbos, you'll get a nachla b'mitzarim. You'll get an unlimited inheritance, similar to Yaakov. Because the other avos, Hashem delineates their boundaries, but Yaakov is ufarasta. Yaakov is going to burst forth to all directions. So it says, if you give honor to Shabbos, you have onik Shabbos, you will be zoche to an unlimited inheritance. So there's the idea of Yaakov corresponding to Shabbos, and we know about Yaakov, it says he lifted his feet, so we have the feet on Shabbos. So, and we actually say it in Zmiros. It says, nachlas Yaakov yirash. Nachlas Yaakov Yirash. So that's where you inherit the Nachla of Yaakov. So that's the idea of feet. So I've never had this one before. I've never tried Peshav before, but that's where it comes from.
Actually, how you make gelatin.
Yeah?
You use the calf's feet.
Oh, okay. So I guess it makes sense, because it's a gel dish. Right. Okay, good. And then last but not least, I'm sure there's more out there in other sources, but the last one that I could find, which is a minute to have, is cholent. Of course, cholent. We can't forget cholent. So cholent's an actual minug. It's not just convenience, but it's a minug. And the idea of cholent actually is sourced in Rishonim. It was a very famous line from the Baal HaMa'or, Rav Mizrachi HaLevi, one of the Rishonim who comments in the Gemara. And he says, Kol shmi she'eino ochel chamin, if you don't eat cholent on Shabbos, star b'ika achar, we should check your yichus. Make sure you're Jewish. That's what he says.
If you're allergic to
barley. So let's explain what he means by that. What he means by that, and then the Ramah changes it a little bit. The Ramah says anybody who would forbid cholent on Shabbos, you should check his yichus. So the Ramah changes the language a little bit. But the idea was, for centuries, there was a big controversy between the Klal Yisrael and the Tzedukim. Or the Karayim. You have the Karaites, you have the Sadducees. And these are people who denied Torah Shebal Peh, and they only used Torah Shebichsav. So the Torah says, Lo Svaru Eish, B'chol Moshechim HaShabbos. You can't have fire burning in your house on Shabbos. So they took that literally, and they said, oh, so you can't have hot food on Shabbos, because how are you going to keep the fire going? So they wouldn't eat cholent on Shabbos. They would sit in the dark. Nowadays, I don't know how many. I mean, there's still some Karaites actually in Eretz Yisrael, and they won't use electricity on Shabbos. You can't have any fire on Shabbos, nothing. So therefore, for them, cholent was off limits because how can you have food on Shabbos? The correct halacha obviously is the Torah Shebal Peh tells us that's not what it means, and you're certainly allowed to have a fire on Shabbos that's lit prior to Shabbos. So therefore, the Purushim and people who kept their Torah Shebal Peh, they would be particular to be sure to have hot food on Shabbos in order to show the Tzedukim that you're wrong. That's what they would do. So the Baal Mor's comment, if you don't eat cholent on Shabbos, we have to check your yichus because you might be a Tzeduki. You might be a Karaite because why aren't you eating a cholent on Shabbos? So that's why the Ramah changed it to say if you forbid cholent on Shabbos, which is really the point. If you don't like cholent, okay, you don't like cholent. You know? And technically the same minig we fulfilled through having a cup of hot coffee on Shabbos out of your hot water urn, because you're still using hot food on Shabbos. So the beans and the meat, that recipe is not the point. The point is eating hot food on Shabbos. But cholent has become the minig to have on Shabbos, and it really comes from this idea that you should have hot food on Shabbos. It's appropriate to have hot food on Shabbos. There's another lesson that brought down about cholent, which is cholent is left on from prior to Shabbos and cooks on its own. And to rem is very much to a very important sort of amuna. Amuna b'tachon tells us that, you know, we do our job and Hashem will bring it the rest of the way. Now we're all limited, and we go through certain actions in life, and we do our best. You know, we do the best we can do, but we can't do everything, and the results aren't always in our hands. So we have to do our actions, but Hashem will take it the rest of the way. So they say, and we're talking about Yiddish today, it says, a mensch darf tun, nit lif tun. A person has to act, but you can't. The accomplishments are Hashem's business. You do what you're supposed to do, and Hashem takes it the rest of the way. So the cholent, you know, Erev Shabbos, put everything together, put on the fire, and hands off. And Hashem's got it, you know. If it burns, if it's raw, if whatever, that's up to Hashem at this point. You've done your best. And then that's the remez you find in cholent. It brings about the results. One other point is it's a remez to the man, having hot food on Shabbos. Because we know that the man, on a typical day, if you collect the man on Tuesday and left it overnight, what happened to it? It would spoil. All right. If you collect the man on Friday, leave it overnight, it would still be fresh on Shabbos. So having food from Friday that cooks into Shabbos is a remez to the man that would begin on Friday and remain fresh and delicious even on Shabbos, as opposed to the rest of the week where it would rot overnight. So the cholent actually is also a reference to the man. So putting all this together, you know, every single food has its meaning, has its sources, has its remezim. We understand that Kabbalistically, every action we do in life makes an impact in Shemayim, even the things we eat. And certainly on Shabbos, the day is supposed to have a certain atmosphere, a certain meaning. So the foods that you eat should be meaningful foods. So we said last week, first and foremost, you have to have onik Shabbos. If you don't like eggs and onions or pachar or kugel or garlic or cholent, it's okay. You don't have to eat it. The halacha will tell you onik Shabbos is what trumps it all. But these foods have developed as minhag m'klai Yisrael because each one is a very meaningful food with all sorts of meaning and references which are supposed to enrich your Shabbos experience, the Shabbos atmosphere. And if we don't know what it's doing, we don't know why the Rebbe cut up his eggs and onions on the table. But we know that somewhere in Shemayim, he's doing something. And we have to understand as well, in our own food that we eat, every action we do makes a difference to us, and to our neshamas, and to things in Shemayim, and it actually does have an impact, one way or the other. If your Shabbos is filled with meaningful foods, which might conjure up in your mind these types of concepts, so it makes your Shabbos more meaningful. So it's every food, Klal Yisrael, Minhag Yisrael, Torah, the Minhag Yisrael is very significant. All these foods really have an important meaning. So hopefully this week your Shabbos foods will look a little bit different to you than they did in the past.